Welcome to Living Waters Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this life-changing message.
You know, God is doing amazing things, amen? And, you know, I'm so excited about what God is doing. And I'm just trying to just work what God has said to me. Nigel, don't go away. To what God is saying to us as a church. You know, it's just amazing. Isn't that great what God has given and what has been given through God's people? Wouldn't it be good if by the end of today that was over 2,000? You know, because God is able. You know, God's not finished yet. God's not finished yet. You know, it made me smile earlier. You might have noticed we passed the bags by twice around this section. They obviously hadn't given enough the first time. And it reminded me of a conference years ago at the Elim conference. And they had a speaker called Benson Idahosa, the father of Pentecostalism in some African country. Where was that now? Was it... Nigeria, that was it, Nigeria. I knew it was somewhere like that, you know, and amazing man of God. And, you know, God's put something of what he put on him on you. You know, there is something, that's woolly, isn't it? But you know what I mean? There is something of what he had that God is putting on you. I believe that. And he was at the conference and he was speaking. And they put the offering round. And collected the offering. And when he got up, he said, how much was it? And they told him. And they said, he gave them a figure. And he said, it's not enough. It's not enough. God's given me a figure. Send it round again. And they sent it round again. And to the penny, it was the figure that God had given him. You see, God knows what he's doing. God knows what he's doing. Is that £1 million, I hear you say? Yeah. God knows what he's doing. And, you know, I want to encourage you, God is about his business at the moment. And we are getting God's attention. And Nigel, just come and say what you said at the end of the Wednesday prayer meeting about getting God's attention and getting the devil's attention. Just, yeah, come on. Come on, let's encourage Nigel.
Yeah. Yeah, I say so much, it's hard to remember sometimes. Yeah.
It's the age.
You know, I've noticed over the last few months that things have been going awry in some people's lives, that the enemy has started to attack God's people because God's people are starting to get serious with God.
Amen.
And when we get serious with God, the enemy, he just can't stand that. And he tries to mess it up. And he's coming against people. And I've seen it in people's lives. I've seen things being spoken over people and them taking it to heart. The enemy is a liar. And he wants to destroy what God is doing. So he'll try all the tricks he has in the book to separate us, to pull us apart. But we are not that people. We are people of love. We are people that want to stay together. We're people that pray for one another. We're going to be people that hold each other up. We're a people of love. And God loves us. The enemy is a deceiver and he hates us. He hates the people of God. He hates the work of God. And he wants to destroy what God is doing. Hold on to God. Hold on to what God is saying into your life, not what the enemy is saying. And sometimes, you know, we say wrong things. Accidentally upset people, don't mean it. Don't take it to heart. Because God, it's God. God is love. Have compassion and love on one another. Maybe a bit different to what I said at the end of the meeting. But the enemy wants to destroy what God is doing. Because he sees what God is doing amongst his people. As we get stronger, as we build faith and life together, the enemy wants to come between us. And I've seen some people pull away because they've let their feelings get in the way of what God is doing. They let that little devil speak to them because he is small. He is a created being. He is not God. And whatever he says in your life is a lie. The truth comes from Jesus. The truth comes from the Word of God. and he is truth. And he loves you with a passion. And we've got to learn to love each other with that passion, because we're not going to let the enemy come in. We're not going to let the enemy destroy what God is doing. We are God's people. We're his chosen priesthood, his chosen generation. We are the people of God. And we've got to have that love for one another. We're not going to let the enemy destroy what God is doing. He is finished. I've read the book. I've seen the end. He is finished. God is forever. And our lives are hidden in the book. Amen. Our lives are hidden with Christ in God. And dear me, praise God, we're going to be at the marriage supper together at that banqueting table, and the enemy's not invited. Keep loving Jesus and loving one another. Amen. Thank you, Tim.
Amen. Thank you, Nigel. We've got God's attention. Careful now. We've got God's attention. We've got the devil's attention. But Romans 16, 19 to 20 says, be excellent at what is good, innocent of evil, and the God of peace will soon crush. Crush who? Will crush who? We need to know our word. We need to know our word. He will crush Satan underneath our feet. Hallelujah. He'll crush Satan underneath our feet. Hallelujah. Greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. Come on. God is able. We are in a fight. You know, and we need to be ready. We need to continue to fight. We need to be ready to fight back. A bit like my wife the other week. You're wondering what I'm going to say now, aren't you? She went to do a bit of work in Gerston Chapel. She parked her car. She came back out and she went back to the car. And there's this guy peering through the back window, looking at what's on the... She said, what are you doing? What are you doing? She said with a stare that burned a hole in his shirt. He leapt. He said, oh, sorry, sorry. I'm just looking. She said, yes, but what are you looking at? No, no, just looking. I can see that. What are you looking at? He ran off pretty quick, I've got to say. Now, come on. Come on. Now, you might not believe that about my wife, but when you think about who her father is, for though you know her father, then it makes a little bit more sense, doesn't it? I know. When he was off, and she was righteously indignant because he was looking to take what was hers, ours. Mine is hers and hers is mine. And she was ready for a fight. And you know, there are some thieves looking in your shop window. And we need to start to fight and start to stand on who we are in Christ and tell them to sling the hook. Amen. Tell the enemy to sling his hook. Amen. Because as we're excellent, what is good and innocent of evil, the God of peace will soon crush Satan underneath our feet. Hallelujah. James 4, 7. Submit to God. Resist the devil and he will hang around. Flee. Eh? He will.
Flee.
He will.
Flee.
Flee. Come on. We need to believe this word. It's not just for here, it's for out there on Monday morning when everything goes wrong and you're thinking, oh, why is all this going wrong? That's when you say, I submit to God, I resist the devil and tell him to flee. Hallelujah. That's where we put it into practice, because we are in a spiritual fight and some of us are putting up with some rubbish that has born again, spirit filled, fire breathing, nostril smoking Christians we should not have to put up with. It's time to declare who we are in Christ. Get on the full armor of God. And having done all to stand, Ephesians 6, to stand firm. To stand firm, not wavily, shakily, but stand firm. And tell that sickness, tell that disease,
that's right,
tell that poverty, that affliction, that addiction,
that's
to
right,
go in Jesus' yeah, name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, I remember when the children were small and they would wake up in the night crying, hungry. You'd been trying to get some sort of sleep and it seemed like that season would never end. I remember this because Sim told me about it in the morning when I woke up. But sometimes it seems like these seasons will never end. And it seems like, how will we ever get through this? And there are some people here today who are stuck in seasons that you feel are never going to end. But I want to tell you, just as we look today at our children who are not quite so small anymore, who are, then we are, the circumstance and the season has passed. And I say to you, what you think will never change is going to change.
Amen.
Because God is going to bring about the change and the effect. Hallelujah. And some of you feel stuck in this rut and it's never, ever going to change. In fact, for some of you, you're going to be so far removed from your current affliction or situation that it will almost seem like it never happened. That's how far away you're going to be from it.
Amen.
So maybe you've grown weary in asking. Maybe you've grown weary. But I want to ask you today, what do you see ahead? What do you see ahead of what God is doing? What is God asking of you? What are you asking of God? Because I usually find that when I start asking of God, he starts asking of me as well. And I believe he wants to say, what are you seeing ahead? What are you seeing of him ahead in your life as part of the plan that he purposed for you? Because we walk by faith, not by sight.
Amen.
Sometimes it's difficult to see where we're heading. I went up to Cockington on Thursday evening to drop something off for someone. And me being me, I decided I'd go on my push bike. Now, it does have lights of a sort. Very important for all you cyclists. But once I got out of the street-lit area and into the darkness, let's just say I rode by faith and not by sight. I couldn't see a thing. I'm thinking, is the road there? Is the road there? Is the road there? Is the road there? And in fact, if you've been in the area, you might have heard someone singing, "Guide me, O thou great Jehovah." Because I couldn't see a thing and I had no idea where I was going. But praise God, I'm still here. But you know, God sees ahead. God knows the way. He knows the end from the beginning. He has seen it all. He's purposed it. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the A and the Z. He's done it all. He's seen it all. He knows it all. And you might be like a car driving and you can see as far as the headlights light up. You can't see the full destination. But God sees it all. And God will guide you. Hallelujah. And you might not see how you can get out of this road you're on, how you're going to make it to the end, but God has got you. God has still got you. God has still got you. He's not going to let you go. Hallelujah. Let me read to you. I need to read the word of God here. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. Acts chapter 4, verse 23. On their release, Peter and John went back to their own people because they'd been imprisoned. And they were released. And they reported to all that the chief priests and the elders had said to them. John 4, 24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit through the mouth of your servant, our father David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand and the rulers together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Indeed, Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in this city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your power and will had decided beforehand should happen. Now, Lord, consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your body, your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was, come on, the place where they were meeting was
shaken.
And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed any of his possessions were his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and with much grace was upon them all. There was no needy persons among them, From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them and brought the money from the sales and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone as he had in need. God will add his blessing to his word. Father, I pray this will be our testimony of what you did in the early church, will be the testimony of living waters of the churches across this bay. You adding to their number daily those being saved, all the community in unity together, and in unity together you providing for every need so that not one was in need amongst them. Lord, let this be our testimony. We ask and pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, a few years ago, we lived in Watford, in South Oxy. I'm not saying it was a rough place, but even the water was hard in South Oxy. And there was a family who lived across the road, and they had one of your favourites, Annie. They had a pet snake. What kind was it? It was a constrictor, boa constrictor thing, wasn't it? Or a little python. I knew it was a snake somewhere. Now, they lived happily in their house, but until one day, someone left its door open by mistake. And surprise, surprise, the hungry snake decided to take a wander. Now, me and snakes are not a good combination, like you, Annie. Sim, even worse. And every time she went outside after that, she would look, see, was that snake about? Where's that snake? Now, they thought it had gone outside and assumed it was dead. However, about 4 weeks later, the children were all banging around in the bathroom, and who should appear from under the bath but an even hungrier snake. They thought it was dead, but in fact it was alive and well. There are things you think are now dead in God. Promises that you thought God had given you, words that were spoken to you, you think are dead. Dreams, visions, plans, purposes. But God knows they are still alive and well. Just hidden behind the bath. And it's time to take the bath panel off to get these promises out and start believing and running with them once again. Hallelujah. Amen. You've heard the rustling in the trees. You know God's at work and doing something. You know what he's promised. You can sense he's on the move. Yet you seem a million miles away from it. I tell you, do not give up. Do not stop. Keep going. For some, the vision's faded. The vision has blurred. The promise has withered. The things we believe so passionately, the worries and concern of this life have choked your very vision, choked your very purpose, choked your sense of what is God doing? What am I doing? What is God doing in me? But I want to tell you today is the time to say, come on. Lord, I thank you that you still have your promises that are yes and amen, never changing, never turning, the same today, yesterday, and forever. Hallelujah. You know his word on healing. You know his declaration on deliverance. You know God's promise on provision. Yet you're still living in poverty. You're still living with sickness. You're still feeling bound. You're wondering when your ship's going to come in. But what was once without doubt you've given up on, as you meander through life from one day to another, or maybe you're somewhere in between, I want you to make a reconnection today with the promise of God, the word of God, the truth of God's word that will cause your situation to change. I want you to re-tie up with what God has promised and what God has said to run with for such a time as this, as he causes the church to rise up once again and take action. It's not too late. You think it's too late now. I want to say to you, it is not too late. And God is going to do some amazing things in not just one person here, but people here are going to see the miraculous hand of God. And you're going to be put in positions where you're going to have to make decisions that you cannot make at the moment because you're not equipped to make them. You're not enabled. You haven't got the ability financially to make those decisions. But your circumstances are going to turn around so much that you're going to have to make decisions you cannot make right now, because of how God turns around your circumstance and your situation.
Amen.
I don't care what has changed. My God is still bigger than all those things.
Yeah.
And Romans 8:4-31 says, if God be for me, who can be against me? Isaiah 54:17, no weapon fashioned against me shall prosper. His word has not changed. Hebrews 13:8, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's still the Savior. He's still the healer. He's still the deliverer. He's still the baptizer. He's still the soon and coming King. And 1 John 4:4 says, the one who is in you is greater, greater than the one who is in the world. Amen. So we may have got the devil's attention, but the one who is in you is greater. Hallelujah. Yeah. Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. And some of you are feeling like you're at the end of your tether. You don't know what to do. You feel like you've done everything you possibly can and still nothing has changed. I hear testimony of this, that you've done everything you possibly can. And I want to say, you have done everything you possibly can. I want to release you from feeling like you should be doing more and guilty that you should have been doing more. But God has you at this place for such a time as this so you can see his deliverance. Amen. So you can say, you cannot say, well, I did it. You're going to have to say, well, God did it. God did it for me. God has changed it for me. 2 Chronicles 20:15, do not be discouraged or afraid because of this vast army, this opposition against you. For the battle is not yours, but God's.
Thank you, Lord.
You think you've reached the end of your tether, but your tether is longer than you think it is. God knows exactly how long your tether is. You feel like you're giving up. You feel like you're saying, right, I'm not going to do it anymore. I've had enough. But God says your tether is longer. And he is not going to give you anything that you're incapable of handling. He's always going to give you the grace to cope and handle with what you're facing. 1 Corinthians 10:13, God is faithful. He'll not let you be tempted what you can bear, beyond what you can bear. He will enable you. He'll give you the grace that you need to be able to handle what you're facing right now. So what do we do to reconnect with the promise? To reconnect our faith, to reconnect and encourage ourselves in the Lord. Because, you know, you'd say, oh, it's all very easy for you to breeze in here, say God still believes in you, breeze back out again and carry on with your English Riviera dream. It's all right for you. You don't know where I'm at. You're right. And without being rude, where you're at is not what I'm interested in. It's how you respond to where you're at.
That's good.
That is what I am interested in.
That's good.
You cannot just blame God. Some time ago, one of my children was talking with Sim. Now, I know you can't believe that Sim or I would have any challenging children, but let's just say that that may well be the case. They're wonderful. I love them. Let's just say it was a daughter, not a son. Let's narrow it down a little bit. And I love her to bits, but as my mother has said frequently, the child has spirit. She certainly has something, that's for sure. So her mother, in exasperation, said to her one occasion when she'd done something again, why did you have to do that? Why have you been naughty again? To which she replied, well, it's not my fault that I'm naughty. God made me that way. It's his fault. Now, it was a good try, and I liked her style. But you can't just point the finger at God and say it's all your fault. And maybe that's where you're at because of what's gone on in your life. You're not in church. You're not where you used to be in church because of what's gone on, and you're blaming God. And I understand. But I want to say to you, it's not God's fault. It's not his fault. And some people are stuck in the pity party of blaming God for where they're at. And reality, it's not God's fault. So what did they do in the early church? Now that I've finished my introduction. Oh dear. What did they do in our reading? You see, I've realized that when I look at the early church, when I read about its explosive growth, and I see the miracles and I read about the miracles that were taking place, when I read there was not one among them in need, I mean, this was a big church. This was a big group of people. 3,000 were added to their number when Peter preached. I have to stop and take note. I have to ask myself, what was it they were doing that got God's attention? What was it they were doing that changed their circumstances and their situation? And I believe that that's what we need to be doing. And I believe that's what we are doing in seeking him Acts 2:47, added to their number daily those who were being saved. They found answers in the midst of persecution, in the midst of trial, and in the midst of tribulation. Peter and John had been put in prison for preaching the good news. Now, that wasn't their intention. They weren't intending to go out, preach, and then end up in prison. Just like none of us would. They were then released and were reporting back to the church what God had done, how they'd been threatened, and how they'd been commanded never to preach or speak in the name of Jesus again. That wasn't how it was supposed to work. You know, we go out on a street evangelism and, you know, sometimes things happen and we think, well, that's not what's... I'm being faithful here to God. Why did you allow that, God? You know, it doesn't always work out the way you think it should. But that doesn't mean God's not in it. God's still as much in it, even when it goes wrong, even when it seems to turn against you. It was all supposed to fall nicely into place with no problems. But like Nigel says, we have an enemy who doesn't like what's going on, who doesn't like what you're doing, and he sees you as a threat, so he's trying to do everything he possibly can to stop you in your tracks. But he cannot. Hallelujah. He cannot, because the one who is in you is greater than he that's in the world. Hallelujah. So what do you do when this persecution and opposition comes? What did they do when that happened? They turned to God. Very deep this morning. They turned to God in prayer. We were poised to move to Devon. We were still in Watford. This is back 2017, trying to exchange contracts on a Monday morning, 5th of September, to complete by Wednesday the 7th of September, so we could finally get installed, as the children already started school on the Tuesday in Torquay. We were still in Watford, with the removers phoning every hour to confirm the arrangements for moving on the Wednesday. And then Monday morning, when we're absolutely desperately needing to make everything fall into place, we're told we need a new valuation by the housing association before we can even begin to exchange. So by prayer and petition with thank you. With what? With what? With what? That's a key there. With thanksgiving. By prayer and petition with thanksgiving, not with complaining, not with arguing, not with ranting and raving, but with thanksgiving. Amen. Whilst at work, in the midst of trying to fix someone's lights, in the myriad of frantic phone calls, a new letter of valuation, a statement from the housing association, an exchange of contract from the solicitor, on the Tuesday afternoon, we were finally able, Tuesday afternoon, to tell the removers to book us in for the following morning, and the adventure began. Now, I have to say, the reason we're here is God's fault, okay? That is God's fault. So you've got complaint, take it up with God, all right? Prayer is the key. I'm sorry to bring it down to that simple statement, but I want to say prayer is the key. Acts 4:24. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. How did they react? How do we react? How will you react? Will you get God involved? Will you talk to him about it? And then see his divine intervention. They prayed a prayer. They told God what had been going on. They offloaded. It's good to offload sometimes, isn't it? You get home and say, you won't believe what happened at work today. They did this and that. It's good to offload. A problem shared is a problem halved. So they tell us. They reminded God of what had been said by those who opposed them. Plus, they reminded themselves of what had been promised to them by the Lord Jesus Christ. Stop telling God about your problem and start telling your problem about your God.
Amen.
And then verse 31, after they had prayed, when did change come? When did the situation change? Was it before they prayed? After they had prayed. After they had prayed. How did they pray? They prayed together. They raised their voices together in prayer. Now, don't just tell me you pray at home. Praise God you pray at home. And never mind about the prayer meeting. Praise God you do pray at home. But there are some things that we need to pray through corporately. We pray and we pray together. We pray at home, we pray together corporately. And we come to the prayer meetings so that things that need shifting in the heavenly realms, we can agree together, because where two or more agree on earth as touching anything, so it shall be done. Amen. And then the place where they were meeting was shaken. You don't sound sure. The place where they were meeting,
shaken.
Hallelujah. I tell you, when God shakes things, nothing can stand.
Amen.
Nothing can stand. And I believe, as I was seeking God, asking God what I wanted to see, He wanted me to speak on, what He wanted me to speak on. I believe God reminded me of this verse and said, tell the church there is going to be a shaking coming, where circumstances and situations that have been stuck in the mud for years, things that you cannot see a way through, you think will never, ever be resolved or will ever change, things are getting worse rather than better. You thought you had it all worked out, and then along comes something else that knocks you completely out of alignment, leaves you hopeless and helpless. These things are suddenly going to be shaken, and everything is going to change. Hallelujah. This is for someone, this is for more than one person. This is for me. Never mind you lot, this is for me.
Amen.
There is a shaking coming, hallelujah.
Amen.
Some of us need a good shaking. Some of us can think of people we'd like to give a good shaking to by the neck. Circumstances need shaking. There are things that you're facing, things that you need to change, and God is in the shaking business, hallelujah. He wants to be included in that process. He's not expecting you to shake it on your own. He wants to be included. He did the shaking here. They did not do the shaking. They did the praying and He did the shaking. Maybe it's time for you to stop doing the shaking and start doing the praying instead and let God do the shaking. You're going to see something miraculous happen that the world cannot deny. And only be put down to the power of God at work in your life. That's called a testimony. That's where you testify.
Amen.
To the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
That's where you testify and say, it was not me, it was Him. It was all Him. It was down to Him alone. And you know, the reason why some of us are facing situations that are impossible to man is because they are possible to God. In fact, an easy thing for the Lord. And you're going to see that shaking. You're going to see it change. And you're going to testify, this was God. This was only God. Only God could have done it.
Amen.
Things are about to change. Prayer makes a difference because it is the vehicle God has chosen. The prayer of the righteous man is powerful and effective, James 5:16. It reminds God, not that He needs reminding. It reminds you of His promises over your life, aligns you with His word and His will. Your kingdom come, Your will be done. On earth, that means in your life. That doesn't just mean all, you know, forget me, everybody else. That means you too. Your will be done in my life as it is in heaven. It involves God. In the middle of your situation. That's why in 2 Chronicles 20:15 it says, this is what the Lord says to you, do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Someone needs to hear this morning. Prayer enables you to see clearly again by faith and makes the connection between where you are now and the answer to your prayer, so that when everything is shaken and changed, the prayer line connects your present to the future answer that God is giving you. Your present may seem totally hopeless, but you serve a God who is able. And as you pray, you connect with the God who is able and who brings about the shaking and the amazing change. Hallelujah. Let's have the band back, please. I wanted to show you what I mean. I wonder if I could borrow you, Pastor Tony, please.
Yes.
I need an immovable object, and you were one who came to mind. You see, oh, watch out, Mother. You never see me. I might be dangerous with a rope. See, this is what prayer does. Prayer connects us to the prayer answerer.
Amen.
Prayer connects us to the prayer answer. And when you stand in your helpless, hopeless situation, you look to God. And what happens when you pray? Now, it connects to God. Now, God is unshakable. I might be all over the place. I might be all over the place, but God is immovable. Look, God's immovable. See, God's immovable. Because God is bringing me to Him. As I draw near to Him, He draws near to me. Hallelujah. But let me just show that again. Just give me that back again, please. Thank you. Give my prayer back. Now, some of us do that, you know. Some of us take it back when we shouldn't be. Now, when I throw, where's he looking? Who's he looking at? Who's he looking at? He's looking at me. Why is he looking at me? Because I'm throwing something at him. When I worked for the electricity board and we used to let the linesmen, and they'd say, can you pass me this fuse up, big heavy fuse? They always used to say, throw it at their face and they'll catch it. And they did. He's watching me because I'm throwing something at me. So, as we sang earlier, just one look, the connection is made. He's looking at me because I am connecting. And then the immovable, the unshakable that makes me flame is with the solid rock, Christ Jesus. He is a strong tower, a fortress, hallelujah. The righteous run into it and they are saved, hallelujah. And then he stands with me. And he enables me, and he does it on my behalf. And I have to just simply watch and see the shaking happen. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. And it changes before me. And all I can say is, oh, it was me. It was him. It was God. Hallelujah. Because I've made the connection. Hallelujah. I've made the connection. Thank you very much. Amen. Indeed. Thank you very much. That's what the early church did. They made that connection to God. And when they did, it got God's attention. That's what Solomon did in the temple when it was dedicated by God to get God's attention. And it says the place, he filled the place, and the presence was so weighty in that place that it says that the priests could not perform their duty. In 2 Chronicles 7:15, it says, now my eyes will be open and my ears attentive to the prayers offered in this place. It's time for you to get that line connected through prayer. And through faith, to connect your present situation to the promise of God and see the transformation and the shaking occur. You don't know how close you are to realizing your dream and to seeing the breakthrough that you're asking God for. Now's the time to be pressing in even harder. Now's the time to be asking, seeking, knocking, more fervent than you've ever done before, more persistent than ever, because you're closer than you think you are to your answer. Someone once said, it's always darkest before dawn. And you're closer than you've ever been before to your answer and to what you're seeking and what you're believing God for and the miracle that you need. You are closer than you've ever been before. Someone needs to hear that this morning. It has seemed like all hell has been let loose. But you're going to see the salvation and deliverance of your God as you energize your answer through prayer and faith and connect with Him. Persistent, fervent prayer is what makes the difference. In the message in John 16:33, it says, I've told you all these things so that trusting me, you will be unshakable and assured and deeply at peace. In this godless world, you will come to experience difficulties. But take heart, I've conquered the world. It Some of us are living in fear. But I want to say this morning, we're no longer a slave to fear. We are a child of God. We are children of the living God. And I know time has gone this morning, and I'm very conscious of that. And if you need to leave, that's fine. But I just want to give a moment for those who want to, just to receive from the Lord this morning something of what God is saying, as the team are going to just minister this song to us. Because there are some people who are living in fear at the moment. You know, we spoke about healing earlier on. And one of the things that dropped in my spirit just as we were talking about that was the fact that so often we think of physical healing and sickness and disease. Yes, God does deal with that. But when in Psalm 23 it says, restores my soul, my psyche. And there are many people who are suffering with mental health issues and all that that banner encompasses, but issues with your mind. God wants to give you the mind of Christ. He wants to renew your mind. 2 Timothy 1:6-7 says, "For this reason I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline." This morning, God wants to connect with you. He wants to connect with you. You're watching this morning. He wants to connect with you, wherever you are. He wants to shake the unshakable. Hallelujah. He wants to shake the impossible this morning. Let's stand to our feet this morning if we can. If you've never accepted Jesus as your personal Savior, you've never surrendered your life to Him, you've never made that connection. You're backslidden. You once walked with God, but the circumstances have caused that connection to be undone. He wants to reconnect with you. You're watching this morning and you've never asked Jesus to be your personal Savior. I want to give you opportunity to do that. And anybody here as well. So while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if there's anybody here this morning who's never surrendered their life to Christ or knows that you're not right with God this morning in your walk and want to recommit your life to Him, He's calling you to do that this morning. And we want to help you with that process. So if that's you this morning, anyone here who needs to do that, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. It's between you and God. But I just want you to do something so we can help you. I'd just like you to pop your hand up, catch my attention, so we can pray a prayer together to help you on that journey. Is there anyone here this morning who needs to do that, who needs to surrender their life to Christ for the first time or recommit their life to Him? Just catch my attention this morning. Anybody in this room who needs to do that? Thank you, Jesus. If you're watching and you need to do that this morning, it's done through a simple prayer, through asking Jesus to be your personal Savior, acknowledging His death on the cross, asking Him to forgive you your sins, and choosing to serve Him and follow Him for the rest of your days. And that's a prayer you can personally pray whenever you want before the Lord to make that reconnection. And if you're doing that this morning, I want to encourage you just to put on a post on the Facebook, on our line, on our website, just to say, "I've made that decision," so we can contact you and help you progress that decision for it to become more effective in your life by the act of faith that you're making. Charlie, lead us in this song. Thank you. And as she does, I want you to know who you are in Christ. Present your problem, your issue, the circumstance where the devil has come in like a flood. The Holy Spirit raises up a standard against him. But you are no longer a slave to fear. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.